We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Greetings, everyone. Hello to everyone in the room. Hello to everyone worshiping God with us online. Let me tell you, you worship God online. That wasn't like a discounted thing, like a lesser than thing, because God's in the room with you. It's just as meaningful. And I just pray that before tonight's over, that a meaningful thing happens in your life. That's my God. He works even when we aren't in the room. Humans have to ask questions like, if a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? Right? Does it really happen? Let me tell you, whether or not your pastor's in the room with you, God can just fall in your life, and it's the real deal, the real deal. Welcome back to Redemption Church. What city are we in? We're in Plano, Texas. For all you internet people out there, have no idea where you found us. You're in Plano, Texas right now. And my name is Chris Fluitt. And while the band Three Dog Night taught us that one is the loneliest number, the Bible teaches us that one is the most powerful number. Check that out. We're in the third week of our sermon series, 2021. Previous weeks can be found at redemptionplano.com. Go check them out. Jesus prayed that we would be one. And this is a prayer request from Jesus that you play a part in answering. Today, I want you to turn to the chapter where the church was born again by the power of the Spirit for the first time. Who knows what chapter I'm talking about? I think they helped you by putting it up on that screen. But if you know any, if you've been around here very long, you need to know this. The place where people are born again for the first time is in Acts chapter 2. All right. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Today, I want to talk about being together in one place. Can you say one place today? In the second chapter of Acts, how many believers were together there? Does anybody know? 120 believers were together in one place. God does powerful things when believers come together in one place. You better believe that.
Yes.
It's true. Powerful things happen when the people of God come together in one place and start to think about the things of God, talk about the things of God, worship God, and pray to God. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. That is what should happen every time we come here. That is what should happen every time your family starts to pray. Every time your family looks to the Word of God, every time you go to a small group meeting or a Bible study, I am telling you, you need to expect Acts chapter 2 power. What was this one place, though? I got to ask you that. What was this one place? Where was this one place? We aren't really completely sure. We really aren't. But we do know that it was in Jerusalem. And that it was an upstairs room, an upper room. Acts 1, 12 and 13. Then the apostles returned. Everybody said returned?
Yes. Returned.
To Jerusalem. If you returned to Jerusalem, that meant that previously you were in Jerusalem. You left and then you came back. All right. From the hill called the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus ascended. A Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs. Everyone said upstairs. To the room where they were staying. So I believe they were probably already staying in this upper room in Jerusalem. One probable place might be the upper room within the temple. The temple was built and they say there was an upper room there. It could have fit 120 people. All right. It may have been an upper room where they had previously been with Jesus. And that this is a possibility. And one I think that is more likely because Acts 1:13 says it was a room they returned to and were already staying. I have trouble picture them staying in the temple. I have trouble seeing like that would have been okay. But I don't know. That's just my thoughts on the matter. It's not gospel. This may have been the same upper room where the Lord's Last Supper occurred. That room that they prepared was called an upper room. It was called an upstairs room. Mark 14 and 15. If you don't believe me, go check it out. It exists. It's an upper room. And so that would be a place where they returned to, right? And it could be since they had that Last Supper, they were staying there, hiding through the whole crucifixion. All right. Which was now 50 days away, 50 days prior, basically. So they were sheltered in place somewhere. This may have been the room where Jesus washed their feet and offered his bread, the bread of his body and the blood of his, and the wine of his blood. It may have been the same one place where Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. Remember, he appears to all of his disciples except one. That guy's name was Thomas. And then he appears in that same room to Thomas and reveals to Thomas he's alive by showing him the nail pierce in his hands. I'm not sure of this location of this upper room upstairs, but I am certain that there was a place for these people to meet together. The disciples and even a larger group of 120. There was a place. Everyone say there was a place. And what I'm really sure of is that there was a need for such a place. Oh, God doesn't need a place, right? God doesn't need a place. He's a spirit, right? He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at once. But I would tell you people, we live in time and space, and that we need a place. Last December, I was getting ready. I was getting ready, starting my Bible reading plan. And I ran across something I had never considered. Every time I really start digging into reading the Word of God, I'm always blown away by something. And it's Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Be blown away with me. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. I thought all for several weeks how y'all would respond when I brought this verse to you. Who is not blown away? Is anyone not blown away by this verse? Do you see this huge revelation? Anybody? This verse makes me ask a question. What house? What house? I know the lake. But what house? Whose house is that? Jesus went out of the house. But what house? Did Jesus own a house? Well, Jesus says something that leads us to believe he was homeless, that he was without a home of his own. We know this verse, Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, he's like, "You better count the cost, sucker." He doesn't say sucker. No. "Buddy, foxes have dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He's like, "You're eager to follow me. Do you realize what that's going to cost you? I have no place to call my own." Probably talking to a wealthy teacher of the law who had a really nice place to call his own. Foxes have a den to call their own. Birds have a nest to call their own. Yet Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, does not have a place to call his own. If this is not Jesus' home, then whose house? Whose house is it? Well, Mark chapter 1 tells us. If you read your Bible, it'll easily answer your question. Mark chapter 1 tells us, do you know? It tells us where this house is and whose house this is. So let's look. Mark chapter 1 verse 21. they went to Capernaum. Everyone said Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. So Jesus is in a village on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. They call it a sea, but it's really a lake. It's the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee. It's on that northern edge, and this village is called, someone say it with me, Capernaum. The name Capernaum appears 16 times in the Gospels. A lot of Jesus activity happens in the village of Capernaum. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. So now we're 8 verses later. He has been teaching in the synagogue, right? Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of, someone say it with me, Simon and Andrew. Give me another name for Simon.
Peter.
Peter, very good. Poor Simon the Zealot. Just no one shows him any love. There's another Simon, but Simon Peter, his brother is Andrew. This is the home of Peter and Andrew in the village of Capernaum. And this is the house where Jesus stayed. Mark 1 gives me the feeling that they had just heard Jesus teach in the synagogue. After he teaches, they have a face-to-face encounter with him. And not calendar time here. Without hesitation, Peter and Andrew allowed Jesus to stay in their house. Do you see this in this story? So simple. It's right there. He comes to Capernaum. He teaches in Capernaum. They hear him. They meet him. And with James and John and Jesus, they return to their house. They hear him teach and they meet him. They hear the message of Jesus and they have a meeting with Jesus, and he goes home with them. What a testimony of these guys, Peter and Andrew, that they were so moved by hearing the message of Jesus and meeting him that they just flung wide the doors of their home and brought this man inside. It's a big commitment to bring someone into your home, isn't it? You don't just bring everybody into your home that you meet. I have to, some things to worry about. I've got children in my home. I've got a home environment I don't want to just bring anything into. And I've actually brought people into my home before who ended up stealing from me. There's always worry about bringing people into homes. I've worried about that. I still worry about that. I remember our house being cased, and then a few days later, I came home, our door was kicked in, and I was scared to death. I was about 14 years old. I remember that, and that still lives somewhere in my head. You know, just bringing someone into your home. And let's face it, this Jesus is kind of out there, man. And they meet this guy named Jesus who says something no one has ever said, says it in a way no one has ever said it. And they meet him and they say, I got this great idea. Me too, brother. Why don't you come home with us? Where else was Jesus going to go? He had no other place to go. Imagine what it was like having the Lord in their house. Think about it. I want to tell you, in this very house, they heard revelation of the mysteries of the parables. Outside, he told the parable. Then they went home, and in this home, they said, Jesus, explain what that parable of the seed and the sower means. What is that all about? And Jesus expounds upon them in this house the meaning of the parable. It's this house. In this house, they saw miracle after miracle. It is likely that this is the very house where a lame man is lowered through the roof. In this house, They lived with Jesus. Mark records the happenings of the first day with Peter and Andrew, where Jesus stays in their house. One day, Mark chapter 1, verse 30, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. This is immediate. Jesus comes in. I just imagine he comes through that door. He can hardly get what kind of overcoat he had off. And they tell him about this sick mother-in-law. He goes in there and immediately does a miracle. Yes. He's in their house for just a small amount of time. And miracles start happening. Yes, the fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door of the synagogue.
No.
The nicest door of the nicest house.
No.
The door of Peter and Andrew. The door where Jesus is staying. Amazing things happen when Jesus comes home with you. Amazing, beautiful, life-changing things that people will talk about 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, millennia from now, for all eternity. People will talk about the things that happen in a home with Jesus in it. Woo! My God. The house in Capernaum and other houses in Jerusalem and Israel became bases for Jesus to operate and do ministry. Yes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. I love how the Bible just describes Jesus. He's just on his way and he happens to see a guy. He sees a guy and he talks to him. How many times are we missing that? Oh, Jesus, speak to us. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. The next sentence. I didn't doctor this verse. It reads exactly like this. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. What just happened? Jesus says two words, follow me, to an outcast. Tax collectors were hated in that culture. They were traitors. They were less popular than LeBron James. I was expecting you to get up and clap, Jeff. You missed it. He just says to this traitor and outcast, follow me. And the next thing you know, Jesus is in Matthew's home. Notice how immediately Matthew opened his home to Jesus. We have people that call themselves disciples, but they have never opened their door to Jesus yet. They have not brought him home. How is that possible? Do you see that Matthew immediately introduces all of his friends to the Lord? Have you invited Jesus to your place? Have you invited Jesus to your place? He's invited you to heaven.
Yes.
Have you invited him to your place? Has Jesus ever received an invitation to your house? Have you ever known someone for a long time, but you were like, they invite you over and you've known them for years, but you don't know where they live? Anybody? Is that how it is with you and Jesus? Of course, he knows all things, but he's never actually received your address. He's never actually been invited to dinner. That is so convicting for me. Is he welcome at your table? Does he have a place to stay at your home? Have you ever introduced your friends to this Jesus? Have you ever allowed your friends to hear the words of Jesus? I love to introduce friends to friends. One of my favorite things to do as a friend of a friend is to tell both friends about both friends. I love it. I love to tell my other friends about my other friends. Have you ever told your other friends about this friend named Jesus? Do you love to tell that, or does it feel awkward? Do you hate that I'm bringing it up right now? Are you more likely to tell the story of a Chris Fluitt friendship story than a Jesus Christ friendship story? My stories, let's all be honest, are not near as cool.
No.
Amen. Revival just happened. We all agreed together. If not, if all I just said about inviting people, bringing God, Jesus into your home, if not, I want to ask you something very pointed. It is very to the point. What is the difference between us and Matthew? What is the difference between us and Peter and Andrew? When they met Jesus, they were instant. They were immediate. They were quick to bring Jesus into every part of their life. Three words, house of God. What do you think when I say the words house of God? Get that in your head. What are you thinking? What are you seeing? Do you think of a really large building? Does it have stained glass windows? Do you picture large statues of Jesus? Maybe a big cross with beautiful decor? Do you think of a huge sprawling campus with separate buildings for every different children's ministry? What's that building? Well, that's the kindergarten ministry. What's that building? That's the first grade ministry. It's like, is that what you think? What do you think? Do you think of a well-trained praise team? Pipe organ? A choir leading worship as people sit in their seats? Just take it all in. As a church planner, I can tell you that churches spend a lot of time, energy, and money trying to provide a church building for people to gather. There is a lot of pressure to provide a nice space. This is going to shock you, but the nicer the space, the more money that costs. Did y'all know that? I pray that the Lord will one day open a door for us to own our own property, absolutely, where we can gather in that one place and minister to our community from that one place and really reinvent church and give people a whole new concept of what it is to be a follower of Jesus in that space. I want that. I want that. I pray for that. And there is nothing wrong with that vision at all. I will just tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with that vision. But most of the New Testament is centered on the idea of finding a house. Not a church building, but a house. Man, There's more here than I could even show you. Trust me, it is all over the New Testament. Jesus taught his disciples to enter a town and look for a home to operate from that home. Matthew 10:11, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. Jesus is also showing them what he did. This is what he did. Throughout Acts and the epistles, that's the letters, we see the gospel reach new cities and repeatedly find a home in a house. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It's that Acts 2 thing again. It's the birth of the church right here, being born again. But verse 46, after they've just seen 3,000 souls get born again, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So they met in the temple courts, but continues. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Acts 5:42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, give us a church like that, Lord. The church met in temple courts, but also from house to house. This week, we're starting to gather again in our connect groups. Took off a little time during that crazy December. We have 3 groups meeting this week. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Clap for that. That is good news. Love it. We have 3 groups. 2 groups are meeting in person within a home. 1 group is meeting online for those who are quarantining or living too distant to meet in person. We actually have people come to our online group that live nowhere near Dallas. Isn't that great? We will gather together in one place, much like they did in that upper room. We will share a meal together and look at the Word of God together, much like how they broke bread together from house to house. We want you to be a part of our connect groups. I'm telling you as your pastor, if I am your pastor, you listen to me. As your pastor, I would love for you to get in a place together with us in a connect group, in a house. We're going to have a sign up sheet in our lobby. It's right by that back door. Before you leave here today, if you are interested in joining a connect group, please stop and sign that piece of paper. Please. You online, haven't forgotten about you ever, not even for a moment. We would love for you to message us and we will do our best to make you a part of one of our online or in-person groups. We will do our absolute best to make that happen. You gotta get in touch with us. That's on you. You do that, all right? We want you to be a part, but I also need to tell you something that we need. We're in need of something. We need more houses. We need more houses in different neighborhoods. We need a new group of people to reach. We need more people to host a small group meeting. We don't have enough. I want you to pray about opening up your home to Jesus like never before, and hosting a group at your place. It is such a beautiful thing to have Jesus in your home. I'm telling you, when we have a connect group, when we have a Bible study, when you begin to pray, you are bringing Jesus to your home. And there are amazing things that happen when Jesus shows up in our home. It is His will that the whole town would be at the door of your house. That the sick, those that are lost and those that are depressed and those that are fearful, and those that feel full of shame, that they would be at your door and the Jesus that's in your house would meet every one of their needs. Who knows? That's the will of the Lord. It's the will of the Lord. It's the will of the Lord. Oh my goodness. Now, we're about to spend some time in prayer. I invite everyone in the room and everyone online to spend some time talking to the Lord. I really believe there is a sweet presence of the Lord ready to meet with us. Take advantage of it. Sarah's going to come and begin to lead us in worship in a moment. But before you come, I want to ask you, could your house be the house? Could your place be the place? Could your apartment be the apartment? Could your house be the house where Jesus dwells? Could your place be the house where miracles take place? Could your house be the house where someone far from Jesus draws close and they find salvation? Could your house be the place where the Holy Spirit falls? Could you take what God has blessed you with and open it up for His purpose? My first car was a 1992 Pontiac Grand Am standard shift. It was black and it smelled of cigarettes. My Uncle Jimmy gave me that car. He said, "Young man, give me $5 and that car is yours." I'm like, "Dad, can I borrow $5? And Uncle Jimmy gave me that car, but I also knew this, the Lord gave me that car. And I remember I was cleaning that car out, taking such pride in it. By the time I was done with it, you could never tell there was a cigarette ever been burnt in that car. But I remember I prayed, "Jesus, thank you for this car." And I just felt so impressed. I just said, "Jesus, I want to bring people to church in my car. Would you fill my car up with my friends? I want to see them come to church. I'll do it. I'll bring them." And that sweet little 1992 Pontiac Grand Am, I can tell you some names that they met Jesus after a ride in that Grand Am. Yeah. Sorrell, if you're listening now, you're one of the highlights of my life. I remember giving you a ride in that Pontiac Grand Am. Jeremy Bowman, Waco, Texas. I remember it. Wonderful. I just decided, this is my place. This is my thing. I want you to fill it and I want you to use it. And I look back on that. That's one of the most amazing parts of my life. It is so amazing when you take what God has blessed you with and give it back to Him. Jesus. It's even better than the original blessing. Who knows where that 1992 Pontiac Grand Am is? It's long been put in a cube somewhere and melted down. I am certain of it. But the memories and what I feel, the conversations I had in that car with people carry on for eternity. Is Jesus invited in your home? Is Jesus invited in your car? Whatever it is that you have, could you today thank the Lord for it and surrender it back to Him? As we come to this altar today, right now, as we come right now, as we come right now to this altar, as we begin to pray online, can we invite Jesus into every part of our life?
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.